Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Fantasy Ramble for the new Premier League season. After a short break that's brought us new signings, drama and a lot of bold predictions, we can finally bring you Energy Sport's finest fantasy football show. My name is Jack Donnelly, and if this is your first time listening to us here at the Fantasy Ramble, welcome, good to have you, and hope to keep you around throughout the season and beyond. On this show, we give a preview of the Premier League's upcoming batch of fixtures with a focus on how these games can affect the Fantasy Premier League game. We pick out key fixtures to discuss and put together our team of the week for the full game week, giving you our picks of the best players to go with for maximum points. We're by no means experts, but we like to think we've got a bit of an idea on how to play the game. Of course, we can't have our own FPL show without having a league. Our league is live now and stronger than ever, with 33 players currently involved. If you want to get involved and help us reach 40 members in the league, join us with the code DPPRDJ. Before we get started, I'll introduce today's co-hosts. First up, we've got a man who can guarantee will be taking as many point hits as possible next week when his beloved Manchester United play their first match. Struan, it's good to be back, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic to be back. It's been a long month. It's been a long month.
But... it really seems weird it's just been that month of a break compared to about three or four.
It's very strange almost that it is coming back, but in the same way it does feel like it has been away for quite a while. But I'm excited to be back, and to I'm not as good on the Scottish fantasy football, but I think that's due to the fact that so many games keep getting cancelled and players keep getting injured, and it's just not my forte.
I like to think
I'm better at this one.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone's very good at the Scottish fantasy football game, especially when Taylor's sitting at the top of the pile in the league. So I suppose that really just does say it all. Have you got any bold predictions for the opening set of fixtures?
I really don't, to be fair. I think a lot of the results are just kind of going to be straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of like the best two, I think Everton-Tottenham's probably going to be quite an entertaining game, as
Absolutely.
Both teams are probably going for the exact same positions in the league. So I think that's, and both have strengthened quite a lot. And to be honest, I just want to see James Rodriguez in the Premier League.
It's going to be a good day when he steps onto the hallowed turf of Goodison Park for the first time.
Do you think if you went back to 2014 and you'd said James Rodriguez has finally come to the Premier League to join Ancelotti, and you're thinking, oh, that's good, and then you just add at Everton,
you would be thinking more of Manchester
City.
Think,
hang on, what's he doing there then?
Well, as 2020 has proven so far, quite literally anything is possible, and nothing makes sense. Next up, we've got a man who challenged me the whole way through the Project Restart games, and eventually, to his credit, leapfrogged me in the last game week to claim third place in our personal league. Jamie McIntosh, it's good to have you back, but I'm hoping that there's less of that this season.
Yeah, I could believe that. I think it was a tussle throughout the season, as you say, and Struan was in amongst it yourself.
I was
fourth pretty much the whole way, and I thought, to be honest with you, it was between the two of yous for second and third. I think everybody kind of thought that I was fourth from start to finish, which I would have had no complaints about. But then eventually you did. Struan kind of seemed to pull away a little bit, and you kind of
faltered
towards the end
a little bit,
and allowed me to. And to my credit, I did have a couple of good game weeks.
You did. I can't discredit you for that.
But yeah, you did give me an opportunity, and fortunately, I managed to take it and sneak up into third place. So that was a little more creditable.
Absolutely. No, that was just, that's a Sky News notification coming through there. Just shows
the Fantasy
that,
Ramble is back.
that's the return klaxon. That's just proving that good journalism students always have their notifications on. What do you make of that? Just my comment, 33 players in the league. I don't even know if we know 33 people.
Yeah, no, I was a bit surprised about that. I don't know how many we had last year, but I'm guessing you said it was more this season, so...
Definitely more. We've recruited. Struan's brought in some boys from back home. I've got a couple of more of my mates.
I've not even brought anybody in, actually. I need to get a few of my mates in.
The Magic 40. We're seven away, and I think I'm still waiting on a couple from back home to get their teams in. But there's a few good names. One of my personal favourites is my friend Zach from back home. His team name is Curl Up and Dyer. So just beaming positivity from the outset. Struan's changed his name once again.
How is he?
He's gone for Gangster's Paradise, which is actually one of his better ones that we've seen.
Unfortunately, Guardians of the Galaxy was one character too long.
Guardians of the Galaxy was too long.
Even with the spaces taken up. So it was... My original name was Marshall Erickson, as in Martial and Erickson, mm-hmm. who's a main character in the How I Met Your Mother. So I thought that was quite clever, and then I realised I don't think a lot of people are going to get it, and I've just got two footballers as my name, so I thought I better change it up a little bit.
I thought mine's was quite funny, although having said that, I had one in mind that was demoted, not relegated, but it was one character too long. So I had to put Hearts were demoted, which I think is just not as good. But the thought process was there.
Is it in the classic ripping the Mick font as well?
That was important, obviously, I think, to add that in. Demoted, not relegated, though, I think would have been better. I think that's my Scottish one anyway. So
I have to say, I love Men Behaving Chadly.
Men Behaving Chadly. That's one of my mates again. Well. Craig's done quite well there. I mean, Chadley's not much of a Premier League icon, is he? But it does fit quite nicely.
Is he still at West Brom or is he at Monaco now?
Chadley?
No, or is he back in Anderlecht or something?
I couldn't tell you what's happened to Nasser Chadley, to be honest. But we wish him well. We wish him well, regardless.
Mm-hmm. He's always been a big fan of the show.
He has been. Keep Hazard on FIFA.
No, he's been a big fan of the show. We've had a lot of endorsement from our friend Nasser, so we wish him all the best. I do quite like, I think it was one of your mates, Struan and Jonah. He just take on me, but it's Ben Me.
Yeah.
That's just quite subtle, but just quite entertaining.
There's a bit of a Burnley theme running through some of the names, isn't there?
It's you and your mates, just in a Burnley group chat. That's what it is. I'm convinced.
Do I like football? Yes.
Yes, I do like football.
And I do like Burnley.
You do like Burnley. We'll not continue the rest of that quote because we don't want to cancel the podcast in the first episode of the new season. So we've got another few hosts waiting in the wings to get themselves involved throughout the season, and all of us are going to be uploading our weekly predictions onto Twitter for the whole batch of games, even the ones we don't cover on the show, and you can find them over at Fantasy Ramble. So we're going to jump right in with the first game, and the first game we're covering is the first game on the schedule this weekend in Fulham versus Arsenal, the London derby that's made a return after Fulham were promoted. Of course, they get through the playoffs, beating Brentford in extra time to secure their Premier League future. And Arsenal had a real up and down season, didn't really finish in the best position, finished down in eighth. But things are looking up for them. I think Mikel Arteta's putting a good project together and they're really looking to push the top four, certainly this season. So Fulham, as just said, newly promoted, and they've didn't really look to have impressed in the transfer window until the last couple of days. They've had a couple of fairly impressive additions in Alphonse Areola, the goalkeeper from PSG, and Kenny Tete, the former Ajax fullback. Struan, with these signings and potentially more in the offing, is more of a chance of them staying up now than we have predicted earlier in the week?
I think the signings are incredible, and I think it was quite similar to 2 years ago when they just started to pull out these incredible signings like Andre Schürrle, and you're thinking, mm-hmm. hang on, and Seri as well, the Ivory Coast international, yes, who looked, I remember when he was spotted in London and people were like, will it be Arsenal or Chelsea, and then all of a sudden it's Fulham. And when I saw Areola getting linked, I thought that was incredible. I think he's a fantastic keeper, but PSG and Real Madrid in the past two seasons. But I just don't think it's enough. Kenny Tete as well is great, but I just don't think Fulham sort of have it, really. To There's some decent signings. Lamina as well, coming over from Southampton. Yeah. Is not
Harrison
too shabby.
Harrison Reed as well. He was there last season, but I think he was only on loan there last season, so they've paid $6 million apparently for him.
I think it's quite a decent
fee. But
in my Premier League prediction, I've got them as 18th, so I think they'll be the ones to maybe go down like right at the end of the season. Right. Aston Villa and West Brom ahead of them to be a bit more certain in that aspect. But I think there's a good foundation at Fulham at the moment, and I think Scott Parker is probably the right man to keep going with them, but I think it'd be a bit much to ask to stay up just at the moment. But then again, they do kind of have that experience of 2 years ago of we spent loads of money, it didn't work, we go back again. There's quite a lot of the players are the same from that experience, so hopefully they'll, you know, Scott Parker's spoken a lot about, he's tried to get in a winning mentality to that team after the disaster, so that could play a part in it. But at the moment, I just don't see them staying up.
Well, I've got them dead last, so I'm in the same boat as you. They just don't really instill me with any confidence, rather, and I just really can't see them being able to combat the real talent that they are going to be facing in the league. Looking over Arsenal, Jamie, they come into this season swinging and they're really looking to push the top four, as I mentioned. Aubameyang, he is, in FPL, he's been transformed into a midfielder rather than a striker. One of the most expensive options, but considering his early run of games, and especially with this fixture, should he be everyone's captain this weekend?
Not sure about captain. I always try to opt for a player who's playing at home for my captain. Not really for any particular reason. It's just always something that I kind of do. I always think if you're playing away from home, I don't know, you're just more likely to. It's more likely to be a harder game away from home. I think
without fans though, the fans might take that away.
You're right. But I mean, Craven Cottage is obviously very, very famous for its hostile atmosphere. So I'm sure that without crowds, it will affect the Fulham players. It is a derby, as you mentioned. So derbies in front of empty stadiums are going to be a little strange for the players to get used to. But I suppose Arsenal and Fulham both kind of got a wee bit of taste of that last season in the playoffs for Fulham and Arsenal in the end of the Premier League season as well. I think Arsenal win the game. I do have Aubameyang in my team. I also have Kieran Tierney in my team. How long that remains the case remains to be seen. How long he stays injury free, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they've had a half decent transfer window. They've managed to secure Ceballos again on loan, and they've signed the Lille defender Gabriel.
just go by his first name.
27 million, I think they paid for him.
Yeah, 27 million.
So yeah, there seems to be quite high expectations around him. So Willian, less said about him, the better. But
is a footballer.
I think they've got every chance. I think personally, I could see Arsenal pushing into the top four at Man United's expense. I do think they'll have a good season. Obviously, yourself and Graham were bigging them up as well. I think there's no denying that there's a squad in there, but sometimes I just think Arsenal lack a bit of character. And as much as I admire Aubameyang and admire his work rate last season, Graham mentioned the other day on one of the preview podcasts that under Unai Emery he was doing a lot of defensive work as well, which shows just kind of how shows his attitude and his desire for the team to work and play for the badge and the armband. But for me, I think you do often lack a bit of character in that Arsenal team, and that probably shows why, considering you don't see too many strikers that are captains nowadays. It's usually it's always kind of really been a defender, isn't it? I know Harry Kane's captain at Tottenham, but I can't really think of too many off the top of my head, which I think maybe shows the lack of character in that Arsenal team, the fact that Aubameyang is that captain.
No, I think it is a well-made point that he does. I think his performances alone kind of would warrant him getting the armband over the rest of his teammates, purely for the fact that he was dragging him through the season at points and without
him. Yeah, he's a huge player. He's a huge player. And I think that says more about the rest of the team, actually, to be fair. I'm not having to go at Aubameyang or that. I think it says more about the rest of the team than Aubameyang himself.
I can see them stepping up, though. I can see the rest of the team stepping up, because I'm really interested to see, with David Luiz's injury, I think he's out for this game, to see whether that would perhaps give a start to William Saliba, who I'm going to be monitoring quite closely, because I think he could be a real starter for Arsenal in years to come and could be a potentially decent cheap option for your defence moving forward. Just taking a quick look back at Fulham, they've kind of got a couple of more manageable fixtures in the rest of the month, because after Arsenal they're playing Leeds and Aston Villa. Struan, do you think it might be worth bringing in a couple of players now with those games in mind, just while we've got the luxury of unlimited transfers, or would you be more inclined just to avoid Fulham players altogether?
I think you can maybe, you know, take a risk and put one in, and he can sit on the sub bench or something like that. I'd advise a forward, because even though I was just singing the praises of Areola, I can't imagine they're going to keep too many clean sheets just on the basis of the defence and the quality of the teams around them in the Premier League this season. But maybe somebody like a Mitrovic, or Anthony Knockhart, I think he's joined permanently as well, so there's maybe something there between them two with a bit of Premier League experience, could come up with a goal here or there. Mitrovic could well be the Pookie of this season as well, who comes up with goals here or there and a random hat trick at some point.
the start of the season and then falls away.
He'll have a good start. Yeah, I could see something like that happening.
I'll be tempted to bring him in for about 4 weeks. I'll finally do it, and then he'll just stop.
I do have him in. He is in my team just now. I don't know. I might switch him out just at the last minute. Before the deadline at 11 a.m. tomorrow. But I'll weigh up my options and see which other £6 million strikers have got a bit of a more favourable fixture. Could rely on my old favourite Jordan Ayew for that. Before we move on, as with every game, we give you our score predictions with some key players to look out for in this one. Jamie, what are we predicting for this one? This will be your first chance to get a prediction on the air for what seems like a while.
Well, I shall go with my trait. No, I won't. 2-0 Arsenal and Aubameyang to be my key player. He's in my team. He's not captain, but he is my in my team, so I could see him notching you a goal or an assist.
Yep, I would almost echo that completely. I have gone for the 3-0 myself. Also had Aubameyang down, but I am interested to see Gabriel playing in the league for the first time. I think he could potentially have a fairly decent time of it, and if he holds up Mitrovic, who is Fulham's main attacking threat, then I think there will be no problems for Arsenal this weekend. Struan, what about yourself?
I've also gone for a 3-0 Arsenal, and despite I also have Aubameyang and Tierney in my team, I've gone for Nicolas Pepe to be the star man in this game. But the thing I'm probably most interested in, which is quite random, is who Arsenal are going to start in goals between Leno and Martinez.
Yeah, we've got a good point.
With both now fully fit, because we know Martinez kind of got the Community Shield in the FA Cup because those are his tournaments, but now it's back to the league. It'd be interesting, because as good as Martinez has been, Leno was also fantastic, and the money spent on him, I feel it'd be a difficult decision either way. Quite similar to the one Man United have now picked up with Dean Henderson.
You're not wrong, but thankfully
it's United, a good position to be in, though, for the manager. Yeah, I mean, I would rather. It's a good headache to have. I'd rather have that than have the situation at Chelsea. Put it that way.
Yeah, I know. I'd back that 100%.
It's not who's going to
save. Don't want to play
more,
either of them.
it's not who's saving more. It's who's conceding less when it comes to certain decisions.
When it comes to goalkeeping decision at Chelsea, we're really just hoping that Mendy signs as soon as possible.
They sign someone, yeah.
We'll move on to the next game of the bigger three that we're going to talk about, and for me this is the most exciting game of the weekend. Battle of the Champions as Liverpool take on newly promoted Leeds United at Anfield. Of course, we know the story with both of these two from last season. Liverpool went on to win their first title in 30 years, while Leeds ended a 16-year almost banishment to the second division. They just couldn't seem to make it back up and now are back in the promised land for the first time in almost two decades. Leeds themselves, they're being seen to have a hotly tipped rise and have a really good season in their first season back. They seem to be fairly nailed on to remain in the top flight at least for another season. That being said, Jamie, can we see much past Liverpool in this one?
I think it'll be a good game. I think you're right in saying it's game of the weekend, and I think I don't think it'll be a walkover by any stretch of imagination. I think this Leeds team will be, you know, so pumped up for this game, and you know, I know obviously every team will be pumped up for this, you know, the first game of the league and all that. It's always going to be heart on the sleeve and all that, but Liverpool, first game coming in as champions, you know, they'll want to make a good start in their title defence, but for me, I think Leeds will give them a good go. I've got it down as a... what have I got it down as? I've got Leeds to score. I know that. I think I've got 3-1. 3-1 Liverpool is what I've gone for. I'm really looking forward to seeing Rodrigo in particular.
Agreed, yeah.
In action. You know, obviously, I think we're all looking forward to seeing how Bielsa's style gets on. We spoke about this on the preview the other day as well. Really looking forward to seeing how Leeds get on, though. Liverpool, yeah, okay, we know what they can do. But I think Leeds, they've signed Helder Costa from Wolves as well. So I think they're going to be pretty dangerous on the counter-attack. So Liverpool will need to be wary. But 3-1 Liverpool.
Struan, just looking at Liverpool, Jamie mentioned that Leeds have recruited very well. Signing Rodrigo from Valencia, Robin Koch from Germany. Helder Costa permanently. They've got Jack Harrison back on loan from Manchester City. On the other side of the coin, Liverpool, they've brought in one player in Kostas Tsimakis, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. joining Liverpool as a backup left back to Andy Robertson. So, do you think Liverpool are kind of going with a if it ain't broke, don't fix it approach? And we're going to see Klopp and FPL managers relying on the last year's success stories for both points in the real league and their virtual leagues?
I think so. I think it's a very risky approach from Liverpool again, in the sense that their team is the best in Europe, just about. It's phenomenal, but they don't really have that much cover in key areas. In the midfield, they've got very good cover, but if one of the fullbacks gets injured, like we saw in the Community Shield, and I think Nico Williams does look quite promising, but I mean, he just couldn't handle Aubameyang in that game. And I think they've probably thought with Robertson, you know, that the new guy coming in. But if somebody like a Van Dijk goes out, I don't think there's a good enough replacement, especially early doors. I think those kind of injuries you can maybe afford later on. But I don't know, they were very lucky with injuries last season that they did lose Alisson. But I mean, the defence is phenomenal. I don't think it really made a huge difference. So I think not recruiting might come to haunt them. There's quite a lot of talks with Thiago as well at the moment, who I think would be a phenomenal signing. But I think this is massive for Liverpool. As soon as they won the title, they just sort of fell away. I fell massively. Yeah, I know they didn't really have anything to play for at that point, but I just thought they just looked really poor. And then in the Community Shield, it was nearly a full-strength team, minus the right-back, as I'd said, and I think Henderson in midfield. And they just didn't look good at all against Arsenal. I know Arsenal were 11 men behind the ball for the entire game, but I think this is actually huge for Liverpool. I think they really need to get off to a good start and just kind of remind people that they are the best team in the country, especially after the, was it 4-0 by Man City?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Towards the end of last season as well. I think a lot of people have now said, oh, this is going to be Man City, they're going to win the league again, Liverpool will fall away type situation. So I think they need to get off to a big start, and it's not easy at all, I don't think, with Leeds.
No, definitely not. Jamie mentioned it with Leeds and Bielsa staying for another year, he's sending an extension today or yesterday, I believe. And he's going to be around for at least another year and hopefully beyond, because I'm really, really excited to see how he gets on in the league. Just before we move on, I do want to ask about Leeds. Where do we think they end up come the end of the season? I know it's a fairly big call to make this early before there's even been a ball kicked in this season, but I feel like a lot of people are predicting different things for Leeds and what could end up being the case. So, does anyone want to put their neck on the line for a prediction for Leeds? Could we see them doing a Sheffield United in the best sense of things? Are we expecting them nearer the bottom of the table?
I actually had them down as my Sheffield United team, and I was going to say 10th as well.
10th? What, 10th for both? Wow.
I think 10th. I don't think there'll be any relegation trouble, but at the same time, I don't think they'll be that near the European places. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be quite like a Southampton from last season.
I can see that.
I think they'll be solid enough.
Yeah. I think the Bielsa style will be really interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. I have them in 15th.
Ooh.
Now, it was more, I was working down, I put my teams that were getting relocated, put the teams I thought were getting Europe, and then try to fit the rest in.
It's always the difficult bit, this, isn't it? Like, where everybody goes.
It's just
from
my table, yeah.
7th to about 18th, how the rest of them just kind of
I'm backing Palace and Newcastle, perhaps foolishly, to have fairly good seasons this year. So they're a bit higher. Everton are above them. Burnley's at a place above them, because I think Burnley are just part of the furniture in the Premier League at the moment. There's no getting rid of them. But I think it'll be a fairly comfortable 15th. They perhaps might come into a little bit of trouble, but I think it'll be quickly dealt with and they'll look secured at least for next season. We'll do a quick score prediction here before we move on. We've got Jamie's 3-1 for Liverpool. Who are we backing to be the key man in it, Jamie?
Salah's my captain, so I better say him.
You probably should put the faith in your own, of course. Struan, how about yourself?
I've also said a 3-1, and I've gone for Trent Alexander-Arnold, as I have him in my fantasy team.
Trent
also
is
in my team.
Trent's the only Liverpool player I've got, perhaps somewhat naively, not including a Salah or a Mane, but with my plans for my budget going later down the line, I've got my money going elsewhere. So
I'll just add, the chances are I will be removing Salah after this game week for Kevin De Bruyne. So I wouldn't say you were being naive by only having Trent in, because I will probably be joining you in a week's time.
Yeah, no, Trent probably best value for money defender And that's even the fact he is the most expensive, you know exactly what you're going to get with Trent in assists and clean sheets. So, and on a consistent basis. I have gone for a 2-1 to Liverpool. I don't think it's going to be the easiest game for them. The players in pre-season, it's not been fantastic. I've not really seen a lot of them, but I know Trent had a fairly uncomfortable couple of games for England, just on international duty. Mm-hmm. And if that translates across to the rest of the team, then I'm not sure that Leeds won't give them a struggle. But I still think they will get the result out, because it's what champions tend to do, is just grind out results when they matter. So 2-1 to Liverpool, and I've gone for Sadio Mane as the key man, who I feel has been a bit overshadowed recently, I think, because Salah and him are now matching in prices in the Fantasy Premier League game. Salah's more of a goal scorer, so he gets more of a look in than Mane. So I don't know. I still think Mane's an excellent player and will have a big impact on Saturday afternoon. The third game of the big three that we are going to talk about is Struan, is the one that Struan mentioned briefly when I was speaking to him in the introduction, as it is Spurs versus Everton. Last season, both teams underperformed for what they were really looking for. I know Everton, they've been a team that have been building up to challenging for European places for years now, and just money hasn't been spent effectively, in my eyes, to have propelled them into that competition. And Spurs really just capitulated under Pochettino, and they were still they were still fairly inconsistent when Mourinho came in, even though he seemed to start to get the team moving in the right direction. But as Struan said, they both recruited well, and they're both looking to get themselves back into those positions that I mentioned by the end of this season. Struan, just a bit of a more in-depth look at the recruitment for Spurs. All or nothing is shown as that Spurs have been keen to recruit Mourinho-style players, and with the signings of Matt Doherty, Pierre Hoybier, and Joe Hart, are they working along the right lines?
I think they're very Mourinho-esque. Just Doherty, somebody who's already proved himself. I think he is 28, which is, that's the Mourinho age. And I think Hoybier as well has kind of done himself in the league so far. Joe Hart's just... it'll be a good backup. I don't know why, but I feel like Lloris always picks up an injury every single season.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So I don't know if he's kind of had that thought process as well of, I actually need to get a really good backup keeper because I'm going to lose.
Is Gazzaniga away?
I don't actually know.
That's a good point. I'll look that up.
He's not on the out section of the ins and outs of the summer transfer window at the moment anyway. So I think he's still there.
If he is still there.
I've become one of these Mourinho sellings. But
he is still there, 4.5 million, the same as Joe Hart.
I think the biggest problem with Tottenham as well, as I spoke about injuries, is in Harry Kane pretty much the past couple of seasons, there's a hamstring injury just waiting to happen or some other kind of injury, and I just don't think there's a replacement there. I think, in my opinion, I think Harry Kane could be the best striker in the league, you know, pound for pound, but it's just such a massive loss as well. I think leadership and other things like that, and there's just, I don't think there's that many game winners in that Spurs team. I think Heung-Min Son, you know, he's a game changer. I'd maybe put Steven Bergwijn in that position as well, but I think they still need more recruitment to push, because I don't think the Spurs drop-off last season is really spoken about enough, that they finished sixth, and, you know, it was a massive celebration from Mourinho and everybody like that, but quite a lot throughout the season they were pushing the top four, and it came down to a game against Chelsea where if they'd actually won, they'd have gotten into that, and then it just sort of fell away from there. And even last season, I mean, Champions League finalists, Liverpool got to the final and lost, and they went on to win it the next year, pushed for the title, and then gone on again. I think Spurs just went completely the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And just a massive drop-off, because I think a lot of people predicted them easily top four last season, and I think now, I just don't know if it's going to work properly under Mourinho, but it's a derby against Ancelotti at the weekend as well. That's the thing, if you'd said back to me in 2014, Mourinho and Ancelotti would both be in the Premier League, you know,
Spurs and Everton,
it really, really is crazy. It's just the time traveller. And just, sorry, I meant to say this earlier on, Julian Draxler heavily linked with Leeds. You know,
2014 is the focal point just now of how much has happened in the space of 6 years.
Luis Suarez and Chiellini may be on the same team.
As
another one, well, we know what happened with him in 2014.
Absolutely. Jamie, just to look at Everton and their recruitment just before we go in, Taylor had highlighted James Rodriguez as a signing of the season so far,
and Everton have tended to, or they have rather, tried to improve their midfield entirely with the signings of Allen from Napoli and Abdoulaye Doucouré from freshly relegated Watford. How do we see them getting on Sunday? Do we reckon they'll be able to gel quickly and provide the performance that they that would be reflective of being able to go on and beat Spurs? Or are we expecting them to still stagnate a bit and have to wait a little bit of time to settle in properly?
Everton are one of those teams that I kind of struggle to take seriously. Not because they're a bad team or anything, but just because they, whenever they kind of build themselves up to get a result or to have a really good team, they just never seem to kind of deliver on the expectation. And I think there was a lot of kind of duds at Everton in the last kind of couple of years, and I think they've managed to get rid of a few, to be honest with you. Obviously, Leighton Baines retired. Martina has been released. Umar Nias has been released. Stecklenburg's gone off to Ajax. Sidibe was on loan last season, so his loan's finished. Schneiderlin's away. I didn't really rate him at Everton. No. He just never really seemed to suit the style. So you're right about the midfield. They've brought Allen, Rodriguez, and Doucouré in. So whether that's going to be, if they're going to play with a midfield three, I don't know. But they're going to play sort of 4-3-3, or whether they'll stick with kind of 4-4-2 and play Richarlison up with Calvert-Lewin, I don't know. It remains to be seen. You speak about how Taylor highlighted Rodriguez as his signing of the season. I highlighted Allen as being my flop of the season. So it will be very interesting to see how they get on. I was a big fan of Doucouré last season at Watford. As you know, I did watch Watford more than most, probably. And I think in a relatively uninspiring team, he was one of the bright sparks. He was quite keen to get on the ball and try and take the team forward. So I think a player like him is good for any team. 20 million, it's a lot for a championship player, but I don't know. It remains to be seen how they get on. And as I said at the start of this this paragraph, if you like, it's not a rant, but it's not really a sentence either. It's not really a point either. I don't really know what I'm saying.
Some would call it a ramble.
Oh yeah, ramble. There you go. Well, that's Struan's job, actually. Struan's
got more of a history of it, yeah.
As I said at the start with Everton, you know, you just never really know what you're going to get with them. So I've put it down as a 2-1 Spurs victory. And I think Harry Kane will have a good season. I mentioned the other day that I think he'll be up there for top scorer. But you do never really know what you're going to get with Spurs and Arsenal up front, is what I said. But Harry Kane for me and 2-1 to Spurs.
I'm a big fan of that. Just Harry Kane, it's been a real case of if Mourinho gets him fully fit for the whole season, it would be a massive, massive turn for Spurs. I really think they could push on and then get really kind of cement their place in Europe for sure. But it's just time will tell whether that actually comes to fruition, because it's the same with Lloris. Kane always suffers an injury every single year without fail. Stu, we'll just look at a couple of other Spurs players, because they've been talked quite a lot about for fantasy Premier League purposes, because Spurs have got a fairly favourable run in the next 2 months. They play one of the big six once in their opening six games, and all the others are fairly winnable. I mean, would the likes of Kane and Heung-Min Son, Dele Alli and the like be worth the investment for your team?
I don't think Dele Alli, but I think Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane are definitely two go-tos. I'd more opt to go for Heung-Min Son than Harry Kane, just in the sense that he's a midfielder, so he might pick up some clean sheet points in that Jose system. Apologies. And he's also got a lot of goals in him. And I think he's just one of those people who he tends to step up when Harry Kane does get his injury and kind of go through the middle and doesn't really suffer as many. And I think his numbers always kind of just go under the radar. He was one of the top assisters in the league last season, and he had a lot of goals as well. And I just think he's just very forgotten about. I think he's one of the best wingers in world football, to be honest. I'd extend that out of the Premier League. But I'd say those are the two to go for. Maybe Stevie Bergwijn as well. He seemed to be doing pretty well under Mourinho initially. I just want to say Christian Eriksen. It feels strange that he's not there anymore as well for set pieces, because I'm not actually sure who'll take free kicks for them now in a good position.
Lo Celso, probably.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, he could.
Well, Lo Celso for crosses, but Kane for having a shot at goal, probably.
Yeah, Lo Celso's actually quite a good shot. I think he might be the number 10 ahead of Dele Alli at the moment anyway. Yeah, I just... There's not too many defenders that I would necessarily point out. I'd go for Matt Doherty just because the way Aurier kind of played, he kind of pushed up last season and Davis tucked in. So I assume that's how he's going to try and use Matt Doherty. And from a set piece, he's quite effective. So maybe if you're going for a defender.
He also is expensive, though, for a defender. I think he's $6 million. So it's a lot of premium that you could be spending elsewhere. That's the only
Did you not tip Doherty as your flop?
Well, flop in the sense of the word that I feel like he'll be stunted by a Mourinho system.
Typically
Mourinho is, as Drone said, it's very defensive football, and Doherty as a wing back was excellent going forward. So
it's so hard to like work out whether a player is going to do well under Mourinho, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's no guarantees.
In recent years, I just say Martial under Mourinho. He just looked, he's bound to go swap him with Perisic, and then as soon as he's left, he's turned into one of the better strikers in the league. So I think it's just 50-50 whether you thrive under Mourinho or you sink or you swim, really.
Sink or swim's it's probably the best way to describe Mourinho in the last few seasons anyway.
Yep.
Right, we'll move on to a score prediction for this one. Jamie's given us a 2-1, and who's your nap for a key player in this one?
Harry Kane, yeah.
Harry Kane.
Kane for me.
Mm. Struan, yourself?
I've gone for a 1-1, and I've just said Harry Winks, because I think it could be a very defensive...
Harry Winks?
That's a name I didn't expect to hear today.
Because I'm kind of predicting it to be quite a cagey 1-1-all, I could see some goals from corners. I think he's probably going to be the guy who has most of the possession, most of the passes, and he'll probably be a man of the match based on just general working around the pitch, because... Mm. If it is a 4-4-2 set up from Everton, and if it's a Jose Mourinho 4-2-3-1, it could really just be whoever gets the first corner probably scores from it, and then just defend.
It's not
defend
a bad from there.
So I was gonna say a striker, but I think it's gonna be a Harry Winks. I'd love to say James Rodriguez, but I just can't decide
whether he'll play or not. Because I don't know if he's not had much of a settling in period, not really been able to train an awful lot, so I don't know whether he'll really get the start straight away, but
maybe have like a late sub on or something.
Yeah, potentially, probably come off the bench. I've gone for a draw, to be honest. I went for 2-2, because in years previous, Spurs and Everton tend to be high-scoring affairs, and I am backing Heung-Min Son to do well, as he is in my team. And I would like to see him do well. For the $9 million I paid, I would like him to perform, please and thank you.
I wasn't on the preview I was yesterday, and this was, I'd have realised as soon as it was over, talking about worst value for money transfers, I think James Rodriguez could be one of the worst values for money.
Worst value? $7.5 million?
I think he could be fantastic, but I think it'll be hit or miss with him, and by hit or miss I really mean he'll thrive or
he'll flop because
I think if they do play a 4-4-2, I don't know how much involvement. I presume he'd play off the right, and I think he'd probably be like the man for set pieces and stuff. But I hope I'm wrong because I really like him. But
I think
he's a very risky shout at the moment. I'd advise leaving him totally out of teams at the moment. And as you said, he's probably not match fit and ready to go into the team straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a free kick going tomorrow.
Watch a free exactly. Watch him net the winner on Sunday.
Yep.
Right, that brings us to an end of the big three games that we're going to talk about. We'll just briefly go over three of the less important games, you would say, or games that just didn't have as much to speak about. We'll start with West Ham and Newcastle. They're playing at the London Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Jamie, just in discussing which games we wanted to talk about, you opted to suggest this one, as you're not backing either to have a good season, whereas I'm the opposite for Newcastle, expecting them to really produced fairly decent football this season, especially with the window that they've had. So I'm just keen to know your thoughts behind that.
No, to be fair, I didn't say that that they both wouldn't have a good season. I just said that they were being tipped by a lot of people for having a poor season. You know, Taylor the other day on the preview was slating West Ham and saying that they were going to be brutal. And I was reading a lot about the kind of Newcastle and the racing post pullout thing that I had the other day. And they were, a lot of their kind of writers were saying that Newcastle were really going to struggle based on the XG from last season. They said they got very lucky.
Yes.
Last season, and they said that they had no right to kind of score the number of goals that they actually did. But Graham made a good point the other day and said that how if they were, he thought they would play better football this season and thought they had a better squad this season, but they would score the same amount of goals. So he thought it would sort of even itself out and they would finish in a similar position to last season. And I'm kind of inclined to agree with that. So I don't think personally that they'll both have poor seasons. I think they'll both be all right, but a lot of people are expecting them to be down the bottom half of the table anyway and possibly be in a relegation battle. But not for me. I would say just lesser than just lower than mid-table.
No, lower than mid-table sounds about right. I say that, but I think I've got Newcastle sitting 11th in my prediction, in my predicted table, which is high. But I've been a big fan of the recruitment that they've brought in, and Jamal Lewis especially is. I really liked him when he was playing for Norwich last year in the league, and I think that's a really smart pickup considering that they lost both their left-backs, because he had a Jethro Willems who ended up injured for the rest of the season, and Danny Rose has gone back to Spurs after completing his loan. So they needed the position, and they've got probably one of the better young left-backs available to them. I'll back Newcastle for this one, personally. It's away, but that doesn't really factor in as much as it used to. I'll say 2-1 to Newcastle. And I can see Callum Wilson opening his Newcastle account this weekend. What about you, Jamie? What are you saying here?
I've gone for a draw.
We're waiting with bated breath.
Any 2-2.
Oh,
2-2.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I fancy this. I think this will be a good game. This wasn't supposed to be on the TV, but then when the Premier League released the announced the deal that everything was going to be broadcast, this was put on for the Saturday night game after Liverpool and Leeds. So that will be my evening entertainment this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Struan, what about yourself? Who are you? What would you predict for this one?
I've backed a 3-0 Newcastle, which is
3-0.
3-0.
Oh, we like that.
I'm getting really excited by this Newcastle front team. I think their recruitment, they've arguably had it's quite hard to say, obviously, with the window Chelsea have had, but I think Newcastle are up there with one of the best windows in the Premier League this season, just in terms of smart business rather than anything else. I think they've recruited so well, and I do fancy West Ham. I mentioned that I think David Moyes will be the first manager to be sacked. I think West Ham won't be the same coming back. I think Antonio, I do rate him as a player, but I think he very much carried them towards the end of the lockdown, which kind of not in my opinion false hope, but I think they weren't actually as good as it had seemed, especially with the 5-4-0 of Norwich. I think anybody could beat Norwich, really. And I think they did survive by the skin of their teeth. And I think this is definitely going to be a really good game. As Jamie said, I was kind of annoyed this wasn't on TV initially, but then they have been. I think it'll be a really entertaining match. And I've also said Callum Wilson to be the star man, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Fraser and Alan St. Maximin, and even when you just say it like that, and Almiron, that quartet is just phenomenal. Yeah. And Jamal Lewis as well at fullback, our youngster DeAndre Yedlin. That's just a really entertaining team. The only thing that would probably put doubt in my mind is that Dubravka's out for Newcastle, I think, for the first few games.
Yeah, that's going to be a big loss.
I'm tipping them to keep a clean sheet, but I think he's one of the best keepers in the league the past few seasons. I think that'll be a massive loss.
Who's the backup then? Darlow,
yeah, who's just signed a new long-term contract this morning, I believe, until 2025.
Didn't they also sign a keeper from the SPL, who I can't think of?
Who, Newcastle?
Yeah, did they not sign a Motherwell keeper or something? I'm probably so wrong with the team, but I feel...
Mark Gillespie signed for somebody. I don't think it wasn't Newcastle, I don't think, though.
Let me have a look. And just mull it over. Struan, you've put doubt in my mind. Gillespie. It is Newcastle. Mark Gillespie.
It was Newcastle.
Yeah.
There we go.
Shout Struan out.
Got there. Well done. Maybe we'll see an appearance from there, but I don't know. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Newcastle. I've decided that this season, I was very pessimistic last season, and I tried to play very safe. I'm just going to go for the odd crazy result this time, and at a 3-0 Newcastle.
We need one every week, don't
gotta
we?
Got to take risks, don't you? Because I was dreadful at predictions last season.
As we saw with our prediction league.
Yeah.
I never gave you my key player, actually. Thomas Suchek is the only player that I have from these two players. I think he's the only person that West Ham have signed.
And that was Sky Sports. Even in this window, I suppose. And that was
sort of pre-contract, wasn't it? I think that's a very good signing. I think he scored some big goals for them last season, and I think he is a big target at set pieces, and we know how Moyes is obviously likes to play. So I think I've got him in my team. I think he'll be a big player for West Ham this season.
At 5 million, it's not a bad shout considering how much he got forward from set pieces and got goals in the restart games. Yeah. So
got a fair share of points last season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I have a feeling that never mind. I'm thinking of Ollie Watkins. I was going to say
Villa,
West Ham not signing another striker, but that was Aston Villa. Sorry,
I do mix them up because both of them are just very poor teams at playing claret and blue, and it's just far too similar. We'll move on and we'll talk about a fairly tricky game for both teams in Sheffield United Wolves. This season, a lot of people are expecting Sheffield United to fall away a bit more, whereas Wolves are pushing the top six without their European football that they had last season. That took their campaign to over 365 days. It took for their season to end. And in his pre-match press conference today, Nuno Espirito Santo did say that the team is not complete, so there are some more incomings expected at the Molyneux in the coming weeks. Struan, how do we see this one playing out?
I've gone for a really boring 0-0, to be honest.
It screams 0-0.
It screams that it should have been last season had it not been for a John Egan late winner, who I've actually said is going to be my man of the match. I think it'll be good. On Wolves' transfer business, I don't mean to sound very negative, and other than Burnley and arguably Man United, I think they've probably had one of the worst windows despite bringing in quite a few players. I think Marcal could be decent, could flop. It's a very difficult one to call. I think he's a bit like Thiago Silva in the sense that he's obviously not on the same quality, but coming to the Premier League at a bit of a later age, I haven't played quite a lot of the time in Ligue 1, it's going to be a bit of a sink or swim. I keep using that phrase today, but I think it could be that. The youngster from, is it Benfica? Or was it Sporting Lisbon he came from?
Which one? Because one came from Lisbon, one came from Porto. Andre Silva? Is it Silva? I think so. It's not Andre Silva because he's a chap that plays for
Frankfurt, yeah.
Yes, I was going to say AC Milan, but that was a time ago. He came from Sporting Lisbon, if I'm right. Fabio Silva, that's his name.
That's it, Fabio Silva.
Good lord, we're off the ball today.
The last one.
Yes.
I spoke on the preview yesterday as well, saying that I think no European football Wolves could have a good season. But again, it's kind of like Liverpool. If they do get an injury to one of the key players, like a Connor Cody, a Ruben Neves, maybe even João Moutinho, who I think turns 35 this year. And I think they rely on him a lot for creativity. And obviously Jimenez and Traore, or even Diogo Jota, if any of them get injured. And I don't think it's kind of been mentioned by much of the press, but they've lost both their fullbacks at the moment. Johnny's picked up a really bad injury towards the end of the Europa League, and Matt Doherty's gone to Spurs. And I think them two were some of the most important players in that Wolves team, both defensively and offensively. I think they were quite unsung heroes, and missing out on both of them I think would be huge. Sheffield United, I think, have kind of done somewhat good business.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I can really go into it too further. Some interesting signings. Ethan Ampadu is quite a good one. Jeremy Bogle as well. Interesting players who have got a lot of potential.
You said Jeremy Bogle. Is it Jaden Bogle? I think
Jaden Bogle. Sorry, I don't know who I'm getting mixed up with.
Jeremy Bogle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, so Jaden Bogle. Wes Fotheringham, of course, the ex-Rangers goalkeeper as well, came in at one point. And Aaron Ramsdale, who I was never really sure on that signing, 18.5 million, and I think they'll struggle quite a lot losing Dean Henderson.
Of course,
and I don't think they've recruited a good enough striker. I think their problem last season was actually scoring goals, and I think McBurney's quite good. But
Ollie Burke is the saviour.
You don't think Ollie Burke is a good recruitment? Are you joking?
I'm sorry.
Have you seen him play?
Yes, exactly. That's the point he's making.
I'm making my point. No, I do rate Ollie Burke, and I think he's been quite unfortunate throughout his career to not have played through yet. This could be the moment for him in the Premier League.
We like to think so. He's had that many chances.
I almost get a strange feeling that they're not even going to play him as a striker, and he might play as a wing back. I don't know.
Please let it be in the right. Let Scotland have a right back for once.
I think
if you play him on the left, we're done.
Play as a right wing back for that system, and the reason why I think he'd work quite well with McBurney, you know, a big tall striker and a wee quick fast one. I think that's quite a good combination. But I think it's more likely Lys Moussa is probably going to be deployed as Ollie McBurney's partner. So I have a feeling that we could see Ollie Burke played. I've just mentioned Bogle in the right wing back, I know, but I think we could see Ollie Burke played there. Anyway, I've rambled about probably the most boring scoreline.
The one you predicted a 0-0, and this nil-nil is the most boring about a game.
5 minutes. John Egan, man of the match, 0-0, boring game, don't watch it.
I'll butt in now then. I've also gone for a 0-0, and I have my starting goalkeeper is Ramsdale.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I wasn't convinced last season on Ramsdale. And you know, look, he was in a terrible team last year. Defensively, he was in a dreadful team last season. So I don't think he's really had the chance to kind of prove himself. So he's now at a team where, obviously, last season they were excellent defensively. And they had an excellent goalkeeper last season in Dean Henderson. So this is Aaron Ramsdale's chance now to prove his quality, show us what he can do. Because, as I say, last season, I think the Bournemouth defence was a bit of a joke, to be honest. So he is my starting goalkeeper. And I think, as far as going back to kind of the preview, going off topic a wee bit, if there was kind of like a player that you were looking forward to seeing how they kind of got on, I think there was a category that was along those lines. Ramsdale would be up there for me, actually, to see how he gets on now at a team that's a bit more solid at the back.
Can I make a wee point about Bournemouth's transfer business this window, more in the outgoings? They've made 18.5 off Ramsdale, 41 on Nathan Ake, 20 million on Callum Wilson. They're also likely to sell Josh King and I think Diego Rico, the left back. They're going to make nearly 100 million off arguably one of the worst teams in the Premier League last season.
That's big money.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I think that's pretty impressive business. I think they still bought Dominic Solanke.
that's just paying, that's him finally paying off a debt to the Dominic Solanke money. I'm going to go for a 1-0 Wolves in this one, and I'm going to say Adama Traore is going to be the key man for this one. He'll either get the winner or loop a lovely ball into our friend Raul up front to header past Ramsdale and get the win for Wolves and Nuno. Last game we're going to discuss in depth, or in a little bit of depth anyway, is one that was debated to be one of the big three purely because of one of the teams, but realistically there was more to talk about with another couple of the games, so it's been lumped in here with the extras. Monday night's fixture, Brighton versus Chelsea. Brighton, they've improved defensively, in my opinion. Ben White coming back is going to be a really good centre-back partner for Lewis Dunk, who was already very good last season. But Chelsea have brought in five more or less guaranteed starters, although only two of them are going to be available for Monday night's game, and Werner and Havertz, as Thiago Silva has only just arrived in London, and Chilwell and Ziyech are both injured. Jamie, how are we feeling for this one? As a Chelsea fan, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely looking forward to it. Look, I mean, as you say, the squad is going to be a new look team for the season. You know, it's probably one of the most revamped teams in the Premier League. You know, you said you've got pretty much five guaranteed starters there that are going to come in. So it's going to be a very new look Chelsea team, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to seeing them in action, because it was the changes were needed.
No, I completely agree. They were definitely needed. One thing I like the most about the Chelsea team just now is that Billy Gilmore has snatched Michy Batshuayi's number out from under him as soon as he left for Crystal Palace, which only suggests that Gilmore will be moving up in the Chelsea ranks this season after he comes back from injury. What are we predicting for this one? Because I'm not entirely convinced we'll keep a clean sheet, if I'm honest. But I do think we'll get... I'm going to go for a 3-1 here. 3-1. And Timo Werner is going to get a Premier League goal on his Premier League debut.
I've gone 2-0. I've got Werner and Havertz in my team. So
did I.
I do think they will both play a part. I think Chelsea will struggle, though. So I've put it down as a 2-0, but I think it'll be not a smash and grab, but I think Brighton will give a good account of themselves, and Chelsea will be 1-0 up, and then they'll just break and score in the last kind of couple of minutes and put a bit more gloss on the result, but I think it'll be 2-0 would possibly be a little misleading. I think they'll take a bit of time to gel, this right. Chelsea team, considering the changes, but I think they'll get the job done, and I think the new signings in Werner and Havertz will impress on debut. 2-0.
Struan, what about yourself? How are you seeing this one play out?
I've gone quite extreme again. I've gone for a 4-0 to Chelsea, and the reason being basically I've got Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, and Reece James in my team.
Ah, okay.
£5 million fullback who I think is going to get quite a lot of game time this season. Well, I hope he does anyway for my team's sake.
for my fantasy team's sake, that is.
And
you sure?
Yep. You were saying Timo Werner debut goal. I've actually predicted a debut hat-trick. I think it's
going to
be
wow.
one of those games.
Yeah. Oh, goodness me.
You're going to see some crazy predictions from me this season. And the reason why I'm saying it is quite often Brighton last season, I think they've had a great transfer window as well. They're like Joel Veltman, Adam Lallana on a free. I think they'll be a very good team this season. I think Graham's pointed that out as well in the previews. But quite often last season, they just sort of down tools when they fell behind. And in certain games, once they conceded, it was just a bit floodgates. And I think that was it. So I think this could be one of those games where I think Chelsea could notch up 2-3 by about half time and then get another one in the second half. I may be being a bit... I may be favouring Chelsea too much to say they keep a clean sheet, because I do think there is some firepower in that team with the likes of Connolly and Neil Mopé up front.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Lallana, as previously mentioned, especially on the counter-attack. But I think this will be a Chelsea win. But I'm not trying to diss Brighton too much, because I think this season they'll be a very entertaining team. I think, as mentioned before, Duncan and Ben White, I think it'll be a really interesting centre-back partnership, especially with Shane Duffy being kicked out, which two seasons ago, you know, you'd think him and Glenn Murray have both left Brighton. What's
the world come to?
Those were two of their three players. It's a bit unusual. So, 4-0 Chelsea, very risky scoreline, but
I'm just intrigued to see that you're both predicting clean sheets when realistically this isn't a changed Chelsea defence on Monday night, because both Chilwell and Silva are unavailable. There's no new goalkeeper.
I was going to say Mendy won't be available, will he?
Well, even if he does sign by that point, I couldn't imagine him playing. So it's going to be Kepa and a partnership along the lines of Zouma and Rudiger, or Rudiger and Christensen, who all three have just looked terrified at moments, like terrifying to watch as a fan. So I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. I'll be blown away if we do and we see some sort of good defensive performance, but here's hoping. As always, we finish out our show with the Fantasy Team of the Week. This is where we take in players from games we've mentioned, games we haven't, and try and get the best 11 for your fantasy team for the weekend. So we always start at goalkeeper. Does anyone want to give me a couple of options that they would suggest for their keeper?
I've just gone with Alisson. Just a very plain, boring, safe bet. I think he's got an assist to it at some point, and I just fancy Liverpool. Actually, do you know what? I've said Liverpool are going to concede to Leeds in my prediction, so come back to me.
I will say, Alisson, you never spend money on Alisson or Ederson, because they're both, what, £6 million on a goalkeeper?
Yep.
That's money spent elsewhere. You can get just as good goalkeepers for 0.5 less or even a million less. So
I've brought in Kasper Schmeichel, who played West Brom from Leicester.
He's my goalkeeper this weekend. Schmeichel, I will have a view of probably moving him out for Nick Pope at some point over the season, just because Pope played so well last year, but obviously isn't playing this weekend. I'd also chuck Roy Patricio into the mix for this one. Just I feel like Wolves are going to keep a clean sheet against Sheffield United. Jamie, how about yourself? You've backed Ramsdale early doors.
I have Ramsdale as my goalkeeper. Merely on a trial, if you like. The goalkeeper that's on the bench is Kessié, the Leeds goalkeeper. He won't be starting this week, but there's a good chance he will be starting next week, as I think they're at home to Fulham next week. So I think he'll be a good squad player to have when Leeds are at home. Elland Road, obviously a tough place to go, even without the fans. I think Leeds will do alright at home this season, so I think someone like him will be a good asset for your team.
Fantastic. We'll move up. We'll move into defence. We've all kind of backed Trent Alexander-Arnold early, haven't we? And I am in the same boat as Jamie in having Kieran Tierney. I think both Arsenal and Liverpool... Well, I've said Liverpool aren't going to keep a clean sheet, so that'll kind of negate that, I suppose. But I think Trent could get involved with a wee assist or something like that. Arsenal are probably going to keep a clean sheet against Fulham, especially if the back
line does well against Mitrovic. Any other shouts for names we missed?
Walker Peters is my... I've got a back three of Alexander-Arnold, Tierney and Walker Peters. I think I've not been particularly impressed with Crystal Palace for a long time now, and I think that'll be a pretty dull game, actually, to be honest. So I could see him getting a clean sheet.
I've got him in my squad, Walker Peters, but I am starting Jamal Lewis over him. I feel like Newcastle, they're probably more likely to keep a clean sheet than Southampton. I feel like Crystal Palace are going to have a better season than people are predicting. I think I have them in 10th, if I'm honest.
Goodness.
I know, there are some bold predictions on my table, so we might have to keep referring to that as the season goes on, just for absolute nonsense. Struan, how about yourself? How have you set up your defence for this week?
I've got Alexander-Arnold and Tierney as well, and then Van Dijk, and I've kept Reece James in. As I mentioned earlier, I think he could get a lot of game time this season, and especially against Brighton. One name who I would say is Mohamed Salisu of Southampton, who...
You love him.
I do. I think he's going to be fantastic, honestly. And Southampton, as we're saying, are playing Crystal Palace. I've actually tipped him to be my man of the match in that game.
You did.
I think he will. I think he'll have a very strong game, and... Yeah, I think he's a very cheap option in defence. Just he's not a fullback, so there's maybe a bit of hesitance towards that, but I think he's a very good option.
Very good option indeed.
And cheap.
And cheap as well. We'll move up into midfield, where a lot of the money gets spent. Jamie and I, we've both already said that Aubameyang is in our midfield. I'm going to be captaining him. And Jamie's captain is going to be Mohamed Salah. I'd already mentioned Mane as a good pick. Anyone else that we've not mentioned? I think Jamie and I both have Kai Havertz as well, actually. We've got a number of the same players in our teams this week, Jamie.
Correct, yeah. Suchek is in my team. As I say, I think that'll be there should be goals in that game, and I could see him notching a header or something. We spoke earlier about how many times he's able to get forward. He's also a threat at set pieces, so I think he's a good asset on the cheap as well. And I've got that Pereira from West Brom. Going on about him on the preview the other day, and I think I'm not sure West Brom will be too good this season, but I'm not sure what to expect from Leicester either. So I've chucked Pereira in the hope that he will spark something for West Brom on the opening day.
I've got Ward-Prowse in from Southampton. We talked quite a lot about Southampton. I think he's the set-piece man. He's guaranteed a few free kicks every season. And I think against Crystal Palace, he'd be good. I've also got Adama Traore, just because I think he could be a game-changer. I do predict the Sheffield United win, but I think if Wolves are to get something, it'll be him.
You just said you predicted a 0-0.
So I did predict a 0-0. Yeah, I thought. Anyway, so a 0-0, if there is a deadlock break, it'll be him. And my midfielder, who I think is going to be the John Lundstrom of this year, is going to be Anthony Gordon of Everton, who's available for $4.5 million, and I think towards the end of last season it's pretty obvious that Ancelotti had a bit of faith in him, so hopefully he gets played a fair amount this season, and he's the cheapest midfielder available effectively, so
I'll check in a shout for Heung-Min Son as well. I think he'll be a real contributing factor in Spurs' game against Everton, and also I've also put Alan St-Maximin in. I did have Stuart Armstrong, but when I went on this morning, he's injured and will not be available this weekend.
Yeah, so I had to take him out this morning as well. Yeah,
a quick
that
change.
Czech Republic.
I don't think so. I don't necessarily think that did, but it just came up. It said a thigh injury and an unknown return date. So, anyone with Stuart Armstrong, perhaps time to move him on. Finally, we'll come to the strikers, and have we all got Timo Werner?
Yep, he's my captain.
Yes.
We've all got Timo Werner. Who's his strike partner then, if we are doing strike partners at all?
Jamie Vardy for me at the moment.
That's a lot of money.
I think I will sacrifice him to get either De Bruyne or Fernandes in the coming week and get a cheaper option at striker. But I just think West Brom and Leicester in the first day, I think that'll be... And it's a fully fit Jamie Vardy. He's not going to have been burned out yet, so I think this might be the time to bring him in. I've also got Keenan Davis on the bench, I think, Jack, you mentioned in one of the preview podcasts. Mm-hmm. Is a cheap option for an Aston Villa striker who may suffer from game time now behind Ollie Watkins. But yeah, I've gone for Vardy and Werner. The two Vs, technically.
Well, it's a V and a double V, technically, and a W. Yeah. So, Jamie, how about yourself? Who have you got partnered in Werner this week?
Rodrigo.
Ah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Possibly not the best game for him. I do have Charlie Austin on the bench, however.
That's a big call.
Yeah, he was getting pelters off. I think it was off Graham or something on one of the previews. I think it was maybe the first preview.
Could have been me as well.
I think it was probably Ollie's, actually, to be honest. he was getting a bit of stick. And I think he's okay. I don't mind Dawson. As a squad player, I mean, he is on the bench.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm not starting him or that, but I think Rodrigo. I think Rodrigo will have a really good season. Do you know that? But I just think at Anfield, it's maybe not the best game to start him. So I may well chuck Charlie Austin in his place. But again, I just don't know if Austin's going to start. You just don't know what formation teams are going to play and who's going to start and whatnot. So I think I will just keep Rodrigo in because he's the kind of star signing, isn't he? So
opening weekend, it is just difficult to call. That's why my striking partner for Werner, I did say I've got Mitrovic in. But the fact it's not potentially going to be the best game for him against Arsenal. I'm looking at one of three options to bring in at the moment across two teams and one game. I'm looking at Che Adams, who actually was outscoring Danny Ings towards the end of Southampton's season last year. And they've got a couple of decent games coming up. Either that, or I was going to go for Jordan Ayew as just the nailed-on replacement. But then I remembered that Batshuayi is just signed on loan. So I'm not sure which of the two would be starting, and especially whereabouts Zaha would fit into the equation with Eberechi Eze signing in the midfield. So I think I might avoid Palace forwards this week just to see what sort of shape they'd be looking to adopt for the coming season. So I think I'll either bring Che Adams in or stick with Mitrovic, and that'll be my strike partner for Werner this weekend. But with that, that brings an end to the first Fantasy Ramble of the new season. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Fantasy Ramble podcast feed wherever you get yours, as well as the Energy Sport podcast feed, where the Football Roundup will review the weekend's action at the start of next week, and Extra Time will catch anything we missed in between. Head over to Twitter and find us at Fantasy Ramble to see our predictions for this set of fixtures and get involved in our league with the code DPPRDJ. We're trying to hit 40 members as soon as we can, so be sure to join the league with that code. Thank you very much to both Struan and Jamie for joining me on today's show. We'll be back next week to cover the next set of fixtures in the Premier League, but until then, I've been Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck this weekend, and we will see you next time.